series, and I expect us to get our notebooks and engage in this teaching series as God will bring revelation to us. But more importantly, we're going to have time to pray. It's very important that as a church, we are staying on the critical core majors of what God wants the church to be. The church is majoring on two major things: the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer. That's what we do internally. The ministry of the word, the place of the word, and the place of prayer. And then we begin to influence our world. So that is very important. So today I'll be doing the first teaching series. And the theme and the topic is teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Verse 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. This period, we are going to unravel the Lord's Prayer. But we are going to start with the first session. Jesus came to a certain place, and after praying at that place, one of his disciples looked at him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because we observe a pattern in your life. Teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. Prayer is one of the most thought about things throughout history. Prayer is not only exclusive to the Christian faith. Prayer is not exclusive. Prayer is not only for the Christian faith. You know, when we talk of prayer, we think it's only Christians that pray. Even Satan is praying. Muslims pray. Hindus pray. Prayer is something that has been a concept, because man must always begin to seek for divinity. That is why prayer is crucial. So, prayer is not just a thing that is discussed just in Christian circles. But there is a difference between us and any other person. And that's why you must understand that you are in a privileged place. The Muslims will pray 5 times today. A devout Muslim is going to pray 5 times today. There are many forms of prayer going on in the nations. There are people praying, doing different libations, praying, seeking for divinity's intervention. And that's why as a Christian, you must understand the concept of prayer and to engage in it continuously. I said prayer is being active in fellowship and communion with God. Prayer is being active. You must be active in communion and in fellowship with God. Sometimes we think prayer is all about action. No, prayer is about being in communion with God. The disciples of Jesus must have known prayer. Prayer was not something that was unique to them. These were Jews. They have seen men pray in the synagogue. They had times of prayer, continuous times of prayer. So they go to synagogue and see the priest making prayers in the synagogue. So prayer was not surprising to them. But what was unique was that Jesus prayed differently. The prayer of Jesus was different. This man's pattern is different. Because they must have been there as Jews. The third hour of prayer, they go to the synagogue and they make their prayers. So prayer was not a unique thing. The Jews did not only exist there. We had the Arabs in that same vicinity. Different cultures. The Mediterranean culture was massive. It was different. So what the apostles were seeing was not the first time they were seeing prayer. It was not the first time. It was not a unique experience. But they said, no. We understand that this kind of prayer is the same kind that John prayed. The prayer that does not come outside, the prayer that is done inside. What's happening there? Jesus was not praying on the outside. The Bible says he went to a certain place. Prayer must always have a certain place. Prayer must always have a meeting point. If there's no meeting point, then you have not come into the place of prayer. It must have a meeting place. Because it's active fellowship and communion with God. Active fellowship and communion with God. God has always desired to engage with man on the place of prayer. We can see that in Genesis also. In Genesis, we saw that happen. God came down at the cool of the day to commune with man, to have fellowship, to have a koinonia, to have something intimate with man. So prayer is an intimate fellowship and communion with God. You must understand it like that. If you don't understand it like that, prayer becomes a chore. Prayer becomes work for you. Prayer becomes an activity. Prayer is not an activity. I saw a wonderful write-up that said, if you pray only when you are in trouble, then you are in trouble. If the situation of prayer is based on just trouble, then there's a problem. Prayer is not about that. Prayer is not when you are put in a tight corner. It's not only about that. Prayer is for you to have active communion with God. Active communion with God. So Luke chapter 11, he said Jesus was at a certain place. Not only that, they saw something unique. They saw that this man had something unique. And he said unto them, when ye pray, not if you pray. Now, when you pray shows that prayer is not an option. Prayer is a necessity. Tell your friends, say prayer is a necessity. Maybe it's not serious. Look for somebody serious. Say prayer is a necessity. Prayer is not optional. Prayer is not if I feel like. You know, I don't feel like praying. There's nothing like that. Prayer is not whether you feel like doing it or not. Prayer is a necessity. The Bible says, when you pray, the time you decide to pray, this is what you do. So, and it's not compulsory. You see, it's a when. So it's very open. When you pray, when you decide to pray, because the time you must pray, prayer is a must. Prayer is there. It must be done. So when you decide to do it, then I'll show you the pattern. You see, Jesus did not need to flog his disciples. He didn't need to whip them. He said, when you pray. The same way he talked about last week. He said, when you fast. When you pray. When you decide to come into communion. Then this is what will happen. So prayer is something we need to make a decision. A conscious decision to say, I want to engage in the place of prayer. I want to engage in the place of prayer. Prayer is being active. Communion and fellowship with God. What is prayer? Prayer is being in an active communion and fellowship with God. Prayer is when at a time and space a man communes with God on behalf of his affairs. So we come into that place. Jesus was God, but he knew that I need to continuously commune with the Father. I need to be in communion continuously with the Father. Now Jesus Christ could do anything. He was God himself. God made flesh. He came into flesh. He was God himself. So Jesus Christ did not, we would think that Jesus would not necessarily have needed prayer. But Jesus knew that prayer is not about God coming to do things for me. No, no, no. It's about communion, continuous fellowship, continuous active fellowship. That's why continuously he goes to a certain place. He goes to a place where he can have active fellowship. So prayer must have a time and space where a man communes with God. Prayer is a critical part of Christian living. It's critical part of Christian living. Any Christian that is not engaged in prayer is living a crisis life. So it's a critical part. The Bible said in Isaiah 56, verse 7, it said, my house will be a house of prayer. So the church is a place of prayer. You know, most times we have defined the church differently. We have defined the church differently. We have thought that the church is a place where we take care of people, and you know, that's fine, that's great. But the church is a house of prayer. When Jesus stepped into the synagogue, he drove everything away. He drove everything. He said, for my house shall be called the house of prayer. So when we come into the church, we have come to pray. We have come to the place of prayer, to the place where prayer must be done. Where prayer must be done. He says it's a house of prayer. So prayer is critical for the church. Prayer is critical for individuals. Prayer is a channel that connects humanity to divinity. Prayer is a channel that opens you up to connect with heaven. Prayer is a channel that you must open through to connect to heaven. Nothing else except by prayer. And prayer is a ministry. The apostles did something unique. In Acts chapter 6 verse 4, there was an expansion of the church. The church was growing. And then you had different individuals, multitudes in the church. There was confusion in the church. The apostles were involved in a lot of issues. Settling issues of sharing, settling issues of food, settling issues that dealt with human relationships. And suddenly, the church stalled. The church entered a season that nothing was really happening. You know, sometimes they get to a season and it's just there. The plateau season. Everything has three seasons. One is the initiation, one is the plateau, and the decline. Every individual has that. As a person, you have that. You have when you are born, the plateau season, and the decline phase. Everything. Organizations have that. You hit. You get to a place of comfortability and then decline. But what happens to organizations that work on the decline is that they inject something into the system that takes them higher. That pushes them. The church came to the place in Acts chapter 6 where they are grown. It was massive. Things were okay. The miracles were okay. The apostles were bishops already. Things were going well. And suddenly they said, we cannot waste our time with the minors. Now, there are things called the minors. We can't waste our time and energy to know how they are going to share this, to know whether that microphone should be black or blue, to know what's happening. They are not interested to know that. They said, let's give this to seven deacons that can do this business so that we can commit ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. And as soon as they did that, if you go to Acts chapter 6 down, the Bible said the church entered into multitude. They entered into the next realm. Now, you can't enter into the next realm if you don't come into the ministry of the word and prayer. You can't. As a church, I challenge you this morning, in this season of waiting and fasting, go into the ministry of the word and prayer. That's what will distinguish you. That's what will set you apart. That's what will take you to the next level. Nothing else. Get into the word, get into prayer. So as we go through the realms of prayer, God will begin to steer our hearts this morning. What initiates prayer? So prayer is not an activity. Let's go back to that slide. Prayer is not an activity. Prayer is not an option, but necessity. And prayer is continuum. Prayer is a continuous process every day. And prayer must be a lifestyle, and prayer must be effectual. The difference between your prayer and the prayer of somebody that is not righteous is that the prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's the difference. The difference between a Christian prayer man and any other person praying is that your prayer avails much. It brings more results. So we cannot afford not to pray. So prayer must bring results. Prayer must bring results. So the effectual fervent, the Bible said two words, effectual and fervent. So when you see us pray and pray and pray, fervent prayer, it says brings result. It draws result down. Fervency in prayer brings result down. So who told you that you should not shout and pray? Shout and pray. Look for a place you can shout and pray. Fervency in prayer avails much. That's the difference between a Satanist that is praying and a Christian righteous man that is praying. His prayer avails much. But the problem is that the church has forgotten the place of prayer. And so the church becomes powerless. And they're wondering why. What will initiate prayer? Two things. A desire and a hunger. A desire and a hunger for fellowship. Psalm 27 verse 4. The Bible said there, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that one thing will I seek after. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire, and to ask questions in his temple. To inquire in his temple is to ask questions in the place of prayer. So the church is a place of prayer. One thing have I desired, you must desire it. The apostle said, we have seen your pattern, Jesus. Teach us to pray. They had a hunger in the inside, saying, no. We have followed this man a lot. We have been walking with him. But one thing we see is that at certain times, he goes to a certain place and he engages in prayer. We don't know what he's doing. Teach us to pray. Teach us to come into that dimension of prayer. So it's a hunger. There must be a hunger built up in the inside. There must be a hunger in our inside built up in the place of prayer. For fellowship. A hunger for fellowship. How much have you hungered for fellowship with God? You're in fellowship and in communion with somebody, or in a relationship with your husband. There must be a time for fellowship. There must be time to talk. Prayer is a time to engage with God continuously. I mean, it's a relationship. You must see prayer as the vehicle that brings you into that relationship. Prayer is not a job. Prayer is not duty. Prayer is not activity. It's coming into active relationship with God. So if you have a relationship with him, and you know that's why he started with our Father. It's a relationship. I don't want to go too far, because I'll be talking about our Father. It's a relationship. Prayer is not an activity. That's why you can pray in the car. You can pray in the bedroom. You can pray. You can just pray. You can engage. Because it's a relationship. You don't need, there's no activity around it. There's no activity to talk to your husband. There's no activity. Do you need to create an event to talk to your husband? No. It's a relationship. You must desire for that relationship and desire for that hunger and hunger for that fellowship. Number two is a body. Prayer is a body. It will come like a body. When the burden of prayer is released upon your hearts, you begin to pray. It's a body. Mark chapter 14, 34 to 36. Mark chapter 14, 34 to 36. And said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Body. Jesus went to Gethsemane. He carries his apostles. He said, follow me. And then he goes to the mountain. I said, let's come, help me. Let's go in place of prayer. The difference between Jesus and the apostles is that one carried the body. The other guys do not understand the body. You know, when you are burdened, the next person will not understand the weight of the body. Prayer is initiated by body. He said, my heart is sorrowful. I'm going through a process of death. I see death. Jesus was going through a process of death. He said, I see death. I'm going to go through death. I need to pray. Body, burden of the nations, burden of humanity released upon him. He said, tarry here and watch. The next 135. He said, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed. Burden is crucial. You need to generate. Burden must be generated. If for 1 year, 1 month, 2 weeks, no, you can't even pray. I will pray this morning that God will release burden upon you. You need burden. You need burden for a revival. We need burden to see God move again. As never before. I was hearing tremendous stories. Somebody sent me a YouTube link this week, and that there are men that have walked on the surface of the earth. A man in his room, sitting down as he wanted to retire from bed, God translated him. His wife is there, but God moved him from the US to the Middle East. Moved him. He saw himself in the Middle East and did what he needed. He saw himself driving. You know, the experience of Philip is not a story. It is real. It can happen even now. Yep. Burden. You need burden for the fire of God again. A lot of times, Christians, we have been so slack. We are chilled. We're cool with what's going on. We love the situation of things around us because we are not. There's no burden generated. Burden pushes you into the place of prayer. Nothing else. Even if I shout from now till tomorrow and say, people of God, come and pray, come and pray, come and pray. No. I'm wasting my time. All I need to say is that God release body. That's all. Body. Why do you wake up and start praying for your children? Body is body. Body for them. Jesus had body. And he just went away and fell on the ground and began to pray and said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Can you take this away from me? I don't think I can go through this anymore. I don't think it's possible to do this. He said, nevertheless, I don't really want to go again, but nevertheless, I can. We're going to push through. We're going to push through. It was in the place of prayer. There are certain things we need to go into the place of prayer. Go back to the place of prayer. Yeah. Go back to the place of prayer. God is calling a lot of us here to that place of prayer. A writer by Corrie ten Boom, she was one of the ladies that survived the Holocaust by a clerical error. God caused this woman to survive the Holocaust that happened when the Nazis took over. And she wrote that statement. Any concern too small to be turned into prayer is too small to be made into a burden. Once you have a concern, it's a burden. You don't need to call the pastor. You don't need to call your neighbor. You go into the place of communion. That's why your place of communion is crucial. That's why the place of communion is important. When you pray, number one, find the meeting place. Tell somebody, say, find the meeting place. There's a meeting place. There's a place where God comes down and he says, I want to talk with you, just you. Not with you and your wife, just you. A meeting place. He said, when you pray, don't pray like the Pharisees that will be shouting in the mountaintop. No, don't worry about that. He said, look for a place in the closet where I talk with you one-on-one. God knows you. God understands you. God wants a relationship because he knows it's in the place of a closet. That's the place of relationship. It's a dialogue with God. It's not one way. The essence of prayer is not for you to just ramble and say all you want to say, and 5 minutes you are done. You didn't even hear God. I mean, even in normal relationship, if somebody's just talking, you just, oh, this person is not interested in me, so I just listen. Okay, that's it, fine. Bye-bye, go. We're in dialogue with God. It's a fellowship. It's an intimate love relationship with God. It's a time to ask. It's a time to seek. It's a time to knock. It's a time of seeking. Prayer is a time of seeking. So when you pray, it's a time to seek. It's a time to ask. It's a time to knock. Knock, 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 knock until the door opens. Knock until the door opens. A time of intervention. Acts chapter 12 verse 5. He said the church prayed and God set up an intervention. He said Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made. But prayer was what? It was made. They made prayer. When you make something, when they say something was made, it means it took time to make the prayer. You know, it's like making food. Prayer was made. They made prayer. There was consistent, intense prayer. The church rose up in prayer. Then God intervened. Before that, he would have been killed, just like James was killed. James was killed earlier. The church did not pray. They're expecting God to come into the vicinity. God did not show up because you have the license to bring God on the earth. God needs us to begin to act on the earth. So when the church prays, God sets in intervention. Prayer must be consistent. Prayer must be effectual. And prayer must be fervent. And like I said, through a write-up, the value of consistent prayer is not that he will hear us, but that we will hear him. The value of consistent prayer is not that he will hear us, but that you will hear him. That's prayer. You know, sometimes we are praying, but have we heard back? Is there something coming back? That's prayer. So we need to get into that kind of prayer where as you are praying, you can hear back. You can ask God, speak to me. How will he speak to you? Through his audible voice, through the word of God, he speaks his mind to you. That's the value of prayer. So if you have not got to the place of prayer where you will hear back, your prayer channel is not yet open. And that's what we'll pray this morning, that God will open you to that prayer channel. So that wherever you are, whether you are cooking and you are praying, you can hear him. It's very important that our prayer channels are open. I want us to be on our feet this morning. Lord, teach us to pray. I want you to be that to be your prayer this morning. It doesn't matter where you are in your journey with God.